You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with RNIB's Chief Executive, Simon Antrobus. And Simon, you've been out and about. We're going to chat a little bit about that. But we've got some elections coming up across the UK. So there's a mixture of sort of local elections, there's parliamentary and assembly elections. A big time for people to use their right to cast their votes. But we're also looking at accessible voting. That's something that RNIB's been working on with the likes of the Electoral Commission for quite some time now.
It is indeed, and it's a really important element of work for us, our campaign to make sure that every polling station is fully accessible for blind and partially sighted people. And, you know, at the moment it's patchy. The Electoral Commission and the government's should be thinking about. It feels absolutely right and appropriate that blind and partially sighted people should have the ability and the right to vote in polling stations like all of us. So we're campaigning on that behalf. The elections are coming up, so we're going to test this principle. We're pleased to hear that in Scotland, accessible voting has taken a real step forward. And, you know, it's leading the way in terms of what it means to for blind and partially sighted people to be able to come to a polling station and vote safely, confidentially and appropriately. And we're really pleased about that. And it's a role model for the rest of the UK.
So I was through RNIB Scotland head office, Simon, in Edinburgh, and I was chatting with Katrina Burness, and we recorded a little piece which people can podcast. I actually got my hands on the voting device. It's almost like a cardboard overlay that goes over the ballot paper. There's Braille on it, so you know the right way to go. There's a little notch out it as well, so you know which way to place it on the ballot paper. There's raised numbers, there's Braille numbering on there, and the boxes match exactly, so you know when you cast your vote, put your X in, it's not going to be a spoiled ballot, it's going to be in the box. And there's lots of ways for you to listen to the candidates list as well. You can do it over the phone with your local council. There'll be players in the stations as well, so you can listen to it before you cast your vote. So it's quite interesting that, you know, this isn't a big electronic solution. It's something as simple as, yes, a recording, but a piece of cardboard that can make a massive difference.
Do you know, it's great, Alan, that we've got that real commitment across Scotland in the elections that are up and coming, and we're really pleased about that. And, you know, it does change things. We want to see that in every polling station, but equally we want to see that technology that really helps blind and partially sighted people play an equal part in the electoral system and voting appropriately. So I'm pleased that we're making progress and still some work to do across the UK.
Indeed, no doubt we'll be getting feedback from voters as well. Always good to hear your positive and negative experiences, how you got at the polling stations. More work to do, but a great start to today, Simon. You've also been out and about this week. I know you've spoken right from the beginning that a big thing for you is getting out, visiting, you know, different RNIB properties, visiting staff around the UK, and that's continued this week.
I spent the whole day visiting the accommodation that we provide in the form of flats for blind and partially sighted people and their families, and spent the day in Forest Hill and then on to Surrey to visit the services that we provide there. And it was a really interesting experience, not least because you get to see firsthand what it means to live with sight loss and what it means to have accessible accommodation. And I was really grateful of the team that took me on the visit. And what it does show, Alan, which is remarkable really, is the breadth of the services that we provide here at RNIB. And you know, that's a really important part of our makeup, that we are thinking constantly about how do we deliver change for blind and partially sighted people, so much so that they can lead the lives they want to lead. And a lot of that is about where they live and their accommodation. And I'm pleased that we're playing a part in that space. And it is really important for me, as the chief executive of this fantastic organisation, that I get the opportunity to get out there and visit as many services and programs of work that we undertake, so that I get a real picture and a real sense of what we do across the organization.
Now, something which you were very keen to discuss again when you joined the organization, and your belief in jobs you've been in before with charities, is involving people with lived experience, about having that, I want to say education, but that understanding that, that staff can get. And if we're looking at sight loss, you know, it's understanding what people who are blind or partially sighted go through on an everyday basis. It's perhaps getting an understanding of things that can be done to improve their lives as well. I mean, I don't think someone who's sighted can ever understand exactly what it's like to be blind, but, you know, having lived experience and embedding that in everything that's done can make a difference to go some way.
I think it's vital and critical. Any organisation that's set up to deliver help and support and engagement with a particular group, in this instance, blind and partially sighted people, has to have this principle of thinking about lived experience at the centre of everything it does. And that requires us collectively as an organisation, but individually, to be curious, particularly if we are sighted allies, so we don't experience sight loss ourselves. And I want to do as much as I can. And I think you're right, Alan, it is about education and understanding and awareness, but also a kind of alignment with the principles and experiences that each individual has in terms of their experience of sight loss. So I've made a real commitment to that. And as part of that, I've got a lived experience coach. Now, that sounds fancy, a very kind of corporate way of describing having somebody who I can share my curiosity with. And it's been utterly brilliant. It's been inspiring and revealing in equal measure. And I'm so grateful to Tracy Deering, who is a colleague that works for RNIB, and she won't mind me saying this, that has sight loss herself, who has given up some time to help me understand and better understand what it means to live with sight loss and what it means to run an organisation where you have a commitment to that lived experience being at the centre of everything we do. So Tracy and I meet regularly. She challenges me on my understanding. She helps me navigate some of the things that I'm learning all about and gives me a greater sense of confidence. And I've really enjoyed the conversations. And it has genuinely been an education. And I think that's so important because it's easy, isn't it, to make misjudgments around these things. And to have somebody there to kind of hold you to account and to, in a kind of safe space, challenge your thinking is a really good thing. And especially at the kind of chief executive level of RNIB.
I suppose, does it allow you to ask questions that you may feel uncomfortable or you may have felt uncomfortable asking in the past? Because sometimes asking those questions or challenging, if you like, can often help when it comes to, you know, creating services, creating projects as well. That lived experience is vital.
You're right. It is a bit of a safe space, and Tracy has been very accommodating in that sense. But it's equally an opportunity for Tracy to kind of represent the experience of sight loss and keep me mindful of it. So I've been hugely appreciative of the time and energy she's given to it and how thoughtfully she's approached it. I'm not surprised. She's a brilliant RNIB colleague and it's integral to kind of day-to-day work. But yeah, it's so important, Alan. I'm really appreciative of the support I've been given in that space.
Well, it'll be good to hear how that progresses, Simon, you know, how you think that goes as time goes on. But unfortunately, we are out of time. Now, if you would like to find out more information about RNIB and its services, do have a look at the website rnib.org.uk. You can also call our very helpful and very knowledgeable team on the helpline. It's 0303 123 9999 or ask your smart speaker to call RNIB's helpline. Simon, we'll catch up with you again, but thanks for joining us again on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.